the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So we begin another year. Today, at the end of the Divine Liturgy, we are going to pray the prayer of blessing for the indiction of the new year, the civil year. We do this twice a year. We do it at the beginning of the church year, which begins in September, September 1st. And we begin it, we pray, ask God's blessings on the civil year as well, which of course begins January the 1st. The celebration of the new year elicits many different thoughts, many different considerations. In a humanistic frame of mind, certain questions can be contemplated. For example, what transpired in the year that just ended that needs to be corrected? What accomplishments give us a sense of movement in the right direction? Are we headed in the right direction? Questions such as these are useful and even necessary for an orderly and prosperous life in this world. However, the spiritual reflections by Christians prompted by their participation in the commemorations of the ecclesiastical calendar of the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church brings to mind a different realm, leads to realizations and reminders that transcend the utilitarian concerns of everyday life. With the coming of each new year, we say goodbye to the year that has just passed and hello to the year that is just beginning. More and more, our reflections on the last 2 years are strongly couched in the experience of the pandemic that we have experienced and still are experiencing. Questions such as, how did I use this past year to draw closer to God? Am I closer to Him now, or have I drifted further away from Him? For those of us who are advancing in years, we realize more and more just how short the chronological time which marks our time on this earth is. Have we used the time given to us by the Lord in a wise way? Have we used that time which was and now is gone to prepare for that time which has no end? In today's epistle, St. Paul seems to be in this frame of mind. He states that he has fought the good fight, finished the race, etc. And in the final verse of today's epistle, he uses the term, and this is what I'm really after in this homily, those who love his appearance. Those who love his appearance. If we would analyze his words in some way, we would see that St. Paul was expressing an eagerness from his heart to be with Christ. Because of the grace of God which was given to the former Saul, who at one time, as you well know, opposed Christ and his people to the point of actually participating in the murder of Christians. St. Paul's soul was illumined by our Lord Jesus Christ. His life was changed in a most radical way. This illumination led to his repentance and the reordering of his life around the pursuit of salvation in the kingdom of God. That clearly was and is his treasure. In St. Paul's words, we do not hear any expression of exasperation or disappointment with his life. Oh, he could have cited, I was shipwrecked, I was beaten, thrown in jail, all of these different things that could have elicited self-pity on his part. My life was so tough. It was horrible. We don't hear any of that. He just sloughs it off. Let me just give you an example in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. He writes, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be made manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. You know, elsewhere, St. Paul refers to all of the sufferings he endured. He refers to them as momentary light affliction. Momentary light affliction. That's his perspective of all of this, of life in this world. And of the countless saints who have loved his appearing, we read today in our gospel of St. John the Forerunner. He stands out. He is considered as the greatest of the prophets. He prepared the way of the Lord, preaching and practicing the baptism of repentance. He made it clear that the one whose appearance he loved was superior to him in every way. Because he loved the coming appearance of the Lord, he proclaimed that appearance to any and all who would respond by turning away from their sins and opening their hearts to the grace and mercy of the incarnate God. From his mother's womb, St. John the Forerunner was called by God to help others exchange their love for vainglorious things of this world, which are passing away, for a longing and devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. In closing, my dear friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, listen to the words of Job. Job knew a thing or two about suffering. In Job chapter 19, verse 25 and following, he says, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another." Beloved, let us be careful where we cast our affections. Let us be careful what we love and how much we love whatever it might be. Because we must love above all our Lord. And we must have a love, a burning love and desire and longing for his appearance. Let us consecrate the time we have on this earth for that glorious day when we shall stand in his presence in all of his glory, in never-ending joy and delight, in the time of the kingdom of which we get just a glimpse today as we worship the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.